It's not about politics, it's about football.
This is a simple game.
We're going to run the ball, and we're going to pass the ball. He's just going to play football, really.
How good of a football player are you?
I just get in and try to spin it. That's all.
I just love the game.
It really is the best time of the year.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into It's Just Football. Trevor Sikkema and Mike Brenner here with you, braving the elements of Mobile, Alabama here, just after the day three of the Senior Bowl practices that we've got here. Mike, it was a great week that we had in the Senior Bowl, but now it is time to put all of what we saw on the field, all the practice notes, all the recaps into practice with a post-Senior Bowl mock draft. Give the people truly what they want. How you feeling, my friend? I saw you shivering a couple of minutes ago.
Not even cold. Not even feeling it anymore.
Not anymore. You say the words mock draft, and it's just the body.
The blood just flows like so hard through my veins once I hear the word
mock draft.
And I'm ready to do it. And it's bittersweet mock draft because it's the last episode of IJF.
I know. But we had to send you guys off the right way.
Exactly.
It's one of the episodes that we know you guys love. You've fallen in love with Draft Wednesdays that we have had all season long, so we figured that this would be the perfect send-off. So we're going to have a lot of fun here on this mock draft format. We're going to go through an entire new first round. I think there are going to be some Senior Bowl players that are going to make an appearance. I don't know what's going to happen yet, but if I was a betting man, I bet that that would be the case. Mike, I will give you the honors, my friend. I will let you pick number one overall because I will let you go odds. We'll go back and forth. We'll go odds and evens. Mm-hmm. You're up with the Chicago Bears. What are you going to do, my friend?
Well, we agreed pre-show with your fourth overall pick.
And we did.
To deal it. Because, as Albert Breer reported, we're sticking with Justin Fields. We're committed to Justin Fields. So we want to move it. Because we're not going to draft quarterback. But someone wants us to pick a quarterback.
Right. And you can't stick at one.
Exactly.
Right? You can't. I mean, if other teams really want a quarterback in this class, you can't just stick at one.
And especially because just how the class is laid out, there's Jalen Carter, Will Anderson. And then there's a gap. You want one of those two.
Yeah.
If you're picking 2, 3, 4, you're still going to get one of those two.
Okay.
So we're moving back to 4. And with
right.
number one overall pick, the Indianapolis Colts select Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback.
All right.
It's going to be – that's my take until someone tells me that someone else is higher on Will Levis than Bryce Young. I'm going Bryce Young. Just this.
I feel like you're kind of the Will Levis stance, so I was a little nervous there.
No.
The pause. I was a little nervous that you were going to derail the mock, you know.
Hell no.
120 seconds into the show, that wouldn't have been great. But Bryce Young going number one overall to the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, that puts me up with the Houston Texans at number two. This one's pretty easy for me. It's a team that needs a quarterback. It's a team that would love Bryce Young. Bryce Young no longer on the board. So I'm going with C.J. Stroud. I got C.J. Stroud higher in the quarterback rankings. I think especially from what we saw from Stroud in that final game against Georgia, I loved how he was able to play under pressure. That's my biggest gripe. What I've seen from C.J. Stroud over the last 2 years is that the play under pressure has not been what we wanted to see. But I'm encouraged with that Georgia game. It makes me feel like that kind of play from him, the best and the more consistent ability, is yet to come in that regard. Because I think that this is a good, tall, strong-armed quarterback who can really be a good franchise leader for you. So I'm going to go with Stroud there at number two.
Yeah, it's got to be a quarterback. Number three, Arizona Cardinals. They kind of have their pick, right? It's Will Anderson, Jalen Carter. You can't really go wrong. I am, for the Arizona Cardinals, looking for a building block. And to me, I think the safeness? Edge.
The safeficity.
Safeficity. Of edge. it has a longer shelf life, right? Defensive tackles, the shelf life, like the assuredness. It's just a position that gets injured more. You have guys at your knees more. It's a position that if I'm debating between the two, towards the top of the draft, unless a guy really is head and shoulders better, I am going to go towards the edge position just because it's why they get paid more. So I'm going to go Will Anderson for the Arizona Cardinals. But again, that one's a toss-up. Can't really go wrong.
The more I have just learned about Monty Osenforth, the new general manager, and the things that he had said about how he wants to build the team from this point on, the more I feel like Will Anderson is going to be their guy. I mean, Will Anderson was a permanent captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I feel like that is going to go so heavily into what Monty Osenforth is going to want on his team, as well as, of course, the top-tier ability. Right? You can't go wrong with either of these two guys, but I feel like Will Anderson, we're getting closer to him being solidified as an Arizona Cardinal there at number three. You made my decision incredibly easy at number four. And this is the dream scenario. Chicago Bears trading back from number one, getting a handful of draft picks and yet still being able to pick Jalen Carter. If the Chicago Bears stayed at one, this would have been my selection for the Bears. In a Matt Eberflus defense, you need a dominant three tech. They don't have one right now. Jalen Carter has been truly one of the most dominant players on the interior defensive line of anybody in the country over the last 2 years. And so this one's a no-brainer for me, him going number four overall.
Yeah, that one's a run in the card. If that pick takes more than 5 minutes, Ryan Poles should be fired.
Well, no, they're just trying to, you know, they got to get that ad revenue. They got to stretch out the NFL draft, right? It's a TV thing. This is really where the draft starts, though. Mm-hmm. Number five overall.
Exactly.
So you're up here at five with the Seahawks.
Number five overall, Seahawks. I have them going Tyree Wilson, the Texas Tech edge defender, for the uniqueness, shall we say. Uniqueness gets drafted highly. Gets bumped up draft boards in the NFL because if you want an edge rusher with a 7-foot wingspan, that is also a high-end athlete, they don't come around every day or every year or every couple of years. Tyree Wilson is a unicorn in that regard in what he brings to the table physically. And, yeah, you got to develop him, but it's something that the Seahawks desperately need. They've been begging for help along the defensive line for years now. I think with a top-five pick, when you have that premium of a pick, I think that's where I'm looking if I'm them, because the premium dudes, the dudes that are the true impact players along the defensive line, more often than not, are the guys that are identified out of college as top 5-10 picks. So Seattle, that's where I have them going.
Five. Wilson at five is rich for me.
Who else are you going?
No, but you're right. And if you listen to what Pete Carroll has said after the season, since the Seahawks season has ended, he said the phrase, "It keeps me up at night," how bad the defense was, because you remember the Seattle Seahawks defense of old. That was their bread and butter. That was their identity.
Yep.
And he talked specifically about desperately wanting to get more dynamic and better along the defensive line. So even though this pick's a little rich for me, this is a predictive mock draft. And so I get it. I get where you're coming from here. Lions at number six. I'm going to go with one of my favorite players in this class, Devon Witherspoon, the cornerback from Illinois. Yes. He is just one of my favorite film studies that I have done all year long. Yes, he's a little bit smaller. He's 6 feet tall, 180 pounds. But, dude, he plays like a stud. This past year, top coverage grade of any cornerback in college football that we have had. He was absolutely shut down. He was physical when he needed to be in press. The total package. I feel like he's a man cover guy. He's a zone cover guy. You could do whatever you want with him. He, to me, becomes that CB1 in Detroit. And then Jeff Okuda can be, hopefully, that CB2. That's somebody on the other side that you can rely on. But I love Devon Witherspoon. Like I said, he's one of my favorite players I've watched.
Yeah. He's CB1 PFF board. Six is not too high. I'd say six is not too high.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it, folks.
All right. I have the number seven overall pick. I have the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yep.
And I think, with obviously the Tom Brady retirement news, they're going to be left out in the cold.
He was never going to go to the Raiders.
He was never going to go to the Raiders.
Never going to go to the Raiders.
But that just means there's one fewer spot for quarterbacks in the what is now the annual quarterback carousel that happens every spring.
I believe that.
So I think they're going to have to go via draft. And it's not bad. It's a good quarterback class, and you have a top 10 pick. So it's not like the worst thing in the world to have to go to the draft to get it. And I think Will Levis would be the guy that Josh McDaniels would covet out of – at this position with Stroud and Young off the board, I think he would be happy to get a guy like Will Levis into that system. Now, is Will Levis going to succeed there? Shit, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people know, because he's a guy that's going to need a lot of development, going to need to fix some accuracy issues at the NFL level. But hails from a pro-style offense, has all the tools to be a successful quarterback at the NFL level, has some of the best pocket presence in this draft class to where you take the chance. You take the chance because you can't roll out Jarrett Stidham and expect
fans
to show up. Well, you expect fans to show up, but they're going to be from opposing teams.
I mean, the only other option here for the Raiders, I mean, would be Rodgers, right? That's about the only other option you have, because you are the team that's moving on from Derek Carr. Because if you go, okay, Tom Brady might have been choice number one, Rodgers probably would have been the only other quarterback who is an upgrade over the guy that you moved on from. Right, so what are you going to tell me? You're going to draft Jimmy Garoppolo? You're going to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo? No, that's not going to do anything for anybody.
It's crazy.
I think you're going to the draft. Will Levis, obviously, you're right. The consistency needs to get better, but toolsy quarterback. He's got a lot of what you would want. I'm in a tough spot here, Mike, with number eight. Falcons are another team, just like the Seahawks, need defensive line. I just don't love This would be a perfect Jared Verse spot if Jared Verse was still in this draft. For me, I was mocking Jared Verse to the Atlanta Falcons for a long time. He goes back to school. I'm reluctantly happy for him in the decision that he made. I guess I'll go Miles Murphy here. Yeah. I'm tempted by corner as well. I'm also tempted by Brian Branch. I think Brian Branch is a very good football player, and I think the Falcons are in the business of drafting very good football players. But are you going to draft a guy who's a safety slash a nickel hybrid player in the top 10? I don't know if they're going to. I think they'll take a bigger swing at the bat with Miles Murphy, a guy who was also on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, and how athletic he is for being 6'5", 275 pounds. Now, he's another player who I think the consistency needs to get better with him, but you got to take a chance at it. The Falcons' defensive line was just not what it needed to be. And they've got some edge rushers that they've got in the tank. Maybe they can get some extra reps with, but none of them are built the way that Miles Murphy is. So I'll go Murphy here. Though I don't know if I love it. It is a chance that I think the Falcons need to take, just getting better along that defensive line. And I don't know how impactful Murphy's going to be year one. But year two, year three, maybe you get a really damn good edge rusher out of it. So I'm going Murphy here.
Yeah, after, like we said, after that top four, it's really, there's not a lot of, like, surefire great options that I love after that. So you're kind of going to have to take some swings, and Murphy is objectively a swing.
Okay.
Number nine, Carolina Panthers.
Three QBs off the board.
I think they, now with Frank Reich in tow, are going to want to give him a quarterback to develop, right?
I think that's the formula.
The only quarterback he really had in that, you know, to develop in Indy was Jacoby Brissett, and I think he did a lot with him in terms of turning him into a at least serviceable starter when he was there. So I think I'm going to go for a swing with Anthony Richardson. I think they bring Darnold back on maybe like a 1 or 2 year prove it deal, and have Anthony Richardson as his backup to mold to be the quarterback of the future. Because if you're the Carolina Panthers, there's not a lot of, you know, as you said, are you going to go bring in Jimmy Garoppolo? Is that going to fix this? Is Derek Carr going to fix this?
No. I mean, certainly Carolina is not going to, right? They're a team that has tried to get retread quarterbacks all the time. Yeah. I just don't think they're in that business this year.
So I think if Frank Reich really is a quarterback whisperer, you know, if that's why you're hiring him, and I think that is why, well, then you take the ultimate, you know, project in this draft class, and that's Anthony Richardson.
Carolina fans, let us know what you think. Anthony Richardson, fourth quarterback off the board, but you get him at number 9. We want to hear from you. Puts the Eagles up at number 10. Eagles, what a spot they're in. Team that's playing for the Super Bowl and yet still has a top 10 pick. I think there's a chance that they might not be able to bring James Bradbury back because he's on a one-year deal this year. He's playing phenomenal this year. I think there's another team out there that's going to be able to give him more than the Eagles are going to be able to give him in free agency when he hits it. So why not take a fantastic corner in what is objectively becoming a fantastic corner class?
Yep.
It's called Christian Gonzalez, the corner from Oregon. You get to put him on one side, Darius Slay on the other. I think that continues to be a really great duo for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's 6'2", he's 200 pounds, but he moves so fluidly. He's so smooth. He had the ball skills, and he showed those off this year. That was the big question mark that everybody was looking to see answered, and I love this film, man. I think that he is a future star at corner in this league, and so I think he deserves to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, the more I watched his tape, Witherspoon's tape, the more I'm like, you want one of those two guys.
It's those two.
Those two, good quarterback class, but those two are a clear tier, in my opinion.
Who you got at 11?
All right, 11, Tennessee Titans. And I know they have their pick of offensive tackles here. We have not seen an offensive lineman come off the board yet.
Oh.
And I know it's a need, but there is one guy who on tape just felt like a Mike Vrabel football player that I watched, and I think he is a perfect fit for this defense, and it's Lucas Van Ness, the Iowa defensive end. He is the best bull rusher in this draft class, including guys like Will Anderson and Jalen Carter. He is, his ability to sink, get underneath the pads of offensive linemen, and continue to drive is second to none. And it is what they wanted Bud Dupree to be in that defense. And what he has not been whatsoever, and with the amount of stunts they run, that is going to be a coveted skill set in that defense. I think Lucas Van Ness is going to be super high on the Tennessee Titans board. I think he's a Mike Vrabel dream. And I think he's in charge now. I know they hired a new GM.
Oh, he's definitely in charge now.
He's the one making the decisions there. So I think they go Lucas Van Ness.
Wow. I mean, I think this is kind of high for Van Ness, but we've actually seen him been mocked in similar spots. I think Mel Kiper had him at number 12. I think Daniel Jeremiah had him at 8. Like, this is not unfamiliar territory when it comes to mock drafts. It's a little rich for me, but I do understand in an edge rush class that doesn't have any solidified stars beyond a Will Anderson. A lot of these players might just be, hey, we want a defensive lineman, and we're just going to have to take a chance on one of these guys. That is how the edge rush class goes in this draft is going to be fascinating to me because it is such a premium position. Mm-hmm. Our team's going to still draft it no matter what, even though there might be a little bit lower production coming from college, lower snap counts from college, all that stuff that you've seen with Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy, Lucas Van Ness, those guys. Or will we see the NFL go, yeah, we're going to pick these guys more towards the back end of the first round. I don't know. It's just going to be a fascinating study for me. I think this draft class in a lot of ways is going to be a fantastic study. Number 12, Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. I had them take a CJ Stroud at number 2. I'm gonna bolster the offensive line here with this pick. No offensive lineman's been picked. I think the offensive lineman with the best tape was Peter Skoronski this past year. Now, a lot of people say, is he a guard? Is he a tackle? I think he could be both. For the Houston Texans. Oh. Yes, 4 offensive linemen on the field. His tape was so good. I think that he can be, yeah, you can take one of those offensive linemen, turn it into another receiver.
Or just put him in the backfield.
No, obviously, okay. So I think that maybe you could put him at guard to start. Because then you got Laremy Tunsil, you got Kenyon Green, you got Peter Skoronski, then you got Tyus Howard on the outside. Tyus Howard doesn't develop the way that you want to, if he's not as consistent as you want to, then I think that you can kick Peter Skoronski out the right tackle. Yeah. To me, he is a good offensive lineman, right? I felt the same about Rashawn Slater, where it was just like, this is just a good offensive lineman. I felt the same way about Landon Dickerson as well, right? Is he a guard? Is he a center? What is he? You know, could he play tackle? Like, he's just good offensive lineman. Yeah. And those are the kinds of guys that I want to draft on the team, especially knowing all the injuries that can happen along the offensive line, the flexibility that you get. This is a Texans team that is still building, still trying to figure it out. I'm going to go Skoronski for him here at 12.
Yeah, I think you just have to. If you drafted C.J. Stroud, you better help the offensive line. You better put him in a good situation quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Number 13, New York Jets. I think you just put this right in my lap here. I'm going to go Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State tackle.
They've
obviously had kind of a revolving door at right tackle this past season. Mekhi Becton, no sure thing to come back from his multiple injuries. Healthy and productive like we saw from him as a rookie. So I'll go Paris Johnson here to play either left tackle, right guard. He's shown positional versatility over his career at Ohio State. I think this is a great pick for the New York Jets if they don't trade it for Aaron Rodgers.
This one is a feel pick for me.
Okay.
14, New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had Lucas Van Ness, he just feels like a Tennessee Titan, right? Earlier in the week, we went through some Senior Bowl guys and he said, Jamie Robinson for Florida State feels like a Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jackson Smith and Jigba feels like a New England Patriot.
Yeah.
I feel like wide receiver is the need for them. And I see a lot of mocks of them like taking a cornerback, taking a couple other positions. I'm like, man, they need passing weapons. 100% they need passing weapons, especially if they're going with Mac Jones in the next season. They need a surefire guy, I think, to play in the slot and a guy who knows how to be an emphasis of the offense. That, to me, is Jackson Smith and Jigba. So I'm going to go with him as wide receiver 1 off the board at 14.
I will say it does feel like it.
He feels like a Patriot. I know that they don't really draft wide receivers in the first round, but, again.
Yeah.
I'm going with feel. We're going off vibes.
If I was a Pats fan, though, I would hate it, but he does feel like a Pat.
Why? You don't want to win?
They need some dynamism. They need speed in that receiving core.
No, they need production. That's what they need. They just drafted Tyquan Thornton. They got speed.
Well, your thoughts on Tyquan Thornton aside, they could still use someone that gets open with speed. Michael Mayer is going to be the pick for the Green Bay Packers.
I think somebody who just gets open.
Notre Dame tight ends.
Your boy.
Trying to get into the mind of one Brian Gutekunst.
Mm-hmm.
I've been unable to, so do not.
It's a steel chamber in there.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Keep it tight. But I do think that a tight end that can get open is something this offense just has not had anytime soon. It's like a position they kind of want to feature. They use him as a blocker a ton, but they have never had anyone that they've been able to consistently throw to. And obviously, no matter who's buying quarterback, I think it's a position they're looking to upgrade. And Michael Mayer is just that. One of the most NFL-ready tight ends in this class. Probably the most NFL-ready from an all-around perspective. So maybe not a high ceiling, but a high floor player.
And he's a complete player,
right?
He's somebody that you can get out there on all three downs. You can utilize him in a lot of different situations. I do keep coming back to this pick, I think. There's different selections that Green Bay could have on the table, certain wide receivers people have on there, maybe some defensive linemen. But when you get to this point in the draft, if the defensive linemen that are off their board are going to be off the board, then where do you look? Who hits the thresholds for Green Bay? Because Green Bay is one of those teams that seems to have athletic and size thresholds. Mm-hmm. Feels like Michael Mayer is still there. Even though the combine might not be as strong, I don't know. I just feel like he's going to be high on their radar. 16, so midway through this mock draft. Washington Commanders, corner's a big need. Offensive tackle's certainly a need. Quarterback could be a need. You know, all due respect to Sam Howell, of course.
Hey-o.
I'm going to go Broderick Jones.
Do it.
From Georgia. I think that they need some sort of juice at offensive tackle. They need to bring somebody in there. It just wasn't as good consistently as it needed to be. And whoever's playing quarterback for him, I think that's the most important position. It's a good cornerback class, but as you and I actually talked about earlier this week as we were evaluating some of the Senior Bowl corners, you might have teams convince themselves that, okay, we have this need and we also have a corner need. Well, let's go with this need in the first round, knowing that this corner class is so deep, could probably get a damn good corner sometime early on in day two. Mm-hmm. So I think that the Washington is one of those teams that's in this situation where you go with the trench need here at 16, you go with the Broderick Jones, and then you can maybe get corner later in the draft.
Yeah, I do think that the Commanders, just anywhere along the offensive line, could use that.
Need some help.
All right, at 17, Pittsburgh Steelers, another team that could use a lot of help along the offensive line.
Could.
But I do think, like, where this draft has gone, those are the offensive linemen that I would want at this point in draft.
Three off the board. They're
So I'm going to go to a different position that the Steelers have been very, very heavily invested in over the past decade. They have shown that in the first round, this is a position that they will target, and it is Brian Brzee, the Clemson defensive tackle.
Oh.
They invest in that defensive line because they know they want to keep that strength. And obviously with the retirement of Stephen Tuitt last year, it's getting, you know, you're kind of chipping away from it. And when T.J. Watt wasn't in the fold and wasn't healthy, you really saw that this past year. So I think they want to go back to the well, make sure it doesn't see any sort of decline. Brzee, a project to a degree, obviously had his career kind of derailed at Clemson with an ACL tear. That's why his tape this past fall was definitely not probably as good as it was even as his freshman year. But I'm banking on the guy that came out as a freshman and looked like a dominant defensive tackle. You know, I'm banking on that being what we see at the NFL level, more so than the guy who was rehabbing still this past fall. So Brian Brzee, Clemson DT, goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know where he's going to get drafted.
I agree.
I mean, tape alone, I have him as like a mid-round draft pick. But he is more talented than the tape that he put out this year. You mentioned the ACL. He also had the kidney issues. Obviously, he had a tragic death in his family, which is something that you have to consider. Like, that is context of how someone is playing, you know, being in the mindset to even be out there to play. I mean, it's just that kind of strength is incredible. And so even for him playing this year, I felt like he deserves recognition for that. And I do. I think he's more talented than what he showed this year. I hope he gets more healthy, obviously more confident. And what better place than Pittsburgh do I think get the best out of him? So I love the spot. I don't know if he ends up being a first-rounder or a mid-round first-rounder, but I'd love the spot for him. I'll stick along the defensive line, the interior defensive line, I should say, for the Detroit Lions at 18. Kalijah Kancey.
Who I think
is DT2 in this class. Look, he is a small Pittsburgh interior defensive tackle. Have you heard of that before? That's right, folks. Jalen Twyman. No, of course. Everybody goes to the Aaron Donald comparisons when it comes to those small interior defensive tackles. I'm not saying that Kalijah Kancey is Aaron Donald. I don't think that anybody out there is, but damn, his tape is fun. You know, he is a smaller guy at 6 foot, 6 foot one, 200 and what would you say, 80 pounds, 285, you know, something like that. But he is somebody who the leverage so obvious. He can get down in his stance right at the line of scrimmage, and he can fire off at you immediately. He is so quick into your chest before offensive linemen are even ready for it. Those hands are so violent, and he continues to work throughout the entire snap. He knows how to pass rush. He knows how to disengage. He's got a great rip move. He's got a great swim move. Man, I just – in an interior defensive line class that is unsolidified, I would say, past Jalen Carter at number one, this guy to me is the one who stands out. This is the player that I would want. You put him on a defensive line with James Houston, with Aiden Hutchinson, with Aleem McNeil. That's a damn fun defensive line. So I'm going to go Kalijah Kancey here for the Detroit Lions, which means they got two defenders in Devon Witherspoon and Kalijah Kancey here in this draft.
He knows how to rush the passer. It's something that not a lot of larger men get, and it separates basically the haves and have-nots at that position. He knows it. He gets it. And he's an elite athlete to do so. At number 19, Tampa Bay Bucks, obviously starting a rebuild, I would guess.
I mean, it has to be.
Almost half.
Yeah, we're all in at this
point. And so I think they're going to let their cornerbacks walk that are free agents. Sean Murphy Bunting, Jamel Dean, both probably gone, which means I'm going to reload that position. Give me another. Obviously, no change to the head coach. You're still going to be a physical press sort of man-man match defense. Joey Porter Jr. is that guy, the Penn State cornerback. He is a guy who looks, you know, tools-wise, very similar to the guy he'll line up across from in Carlton Davis. And that maybe they're not the highest-end athletes, but they know how to play press coverage. They know how to get physical with opposing wide receivers. And when they are holding you and when they got their hands on you, you're only running as fast as they are. And Joey Porter knows that, and I think he'd fit right in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen at corner. Obviously, there's a ton of players that could be out the door now in Tampa with Tom Brady retiring. That team could just look very, very different in a couple of months or next year or whatever it's going to be. But, yeah, Sean Murphy, Bunting, Jamel Dean, both free agents, and they're not going to just want that second corner spot to be completely empty. And I think that investing in it, a high pick, makes a lot of sense for Tampa. And it's an area that they could definitely go after. This is a team who invested a lot of picks, you know, the Jamel Dean pick, the Carlton Davis pick, the Antoine Winfield Jr. pick, Mike Edwards as well, the safety. Like, it's just a lot of picks that they have invested in the secondary, so it's clearly something that during Todd Bowles' time there that they're going to want to do a lot. So it makes sense that they would go back to this well. I could definitely see it. Seattle Seahawks at 20. You had him going Tyree Wilson. I probably would have picked Joey Porter if you didn't take him at 19. I think I'm gonna wait on corner though. You know what? Let's get our first Senior Bowl guy off the board here.
Okay.
Let's go Osiris Torrance. Let's bring the beef. All right. You drafted Abraham Lucas, got a starter there. Drafted Charles Cross, got a starter there. Got Damian Lewis. Gabe Jackson get a little bit up there in age. So maybe bring in Torrance, plug it in for Jackson. Might not be there much longer. Set up a stud offensive line. You know Pete wants to run the ball, Mike. You know Pete wants to run the ball.
He does that for you. He definitely does.
So I'm going to go short. I'm going Torrance here.
I think I would have loved like a Zay Flowers there, though. Nah. DC wide receiver just like, ooh.
I mean, maybe. I can see it. I don't know. They have, but they got a bunch of small receivers. You know, like the small speed.
Yeah, Tim and Tyler Lockett are kind of redundant.
But even like Marquise Goodwin, D. Eskridge. Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like they got those guys.
Those aren't stopping me from draft Zay Flowers. I'll say that.
I guess. All right. I guess.
Chargers, pick 21. Only one wide receiver off the board. And a receiver that, truthfully, I don't think they would have drafted anyways. So I think this is who they will draft if the board falls like that. And it's Quentin Johnston, the TCU wide receiver.
Okay, yeah.
Everyone says they need speed. Well, he's got that. He's one of the faster wide receivers in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Routinely hit 21-plus miles per hour on the GPS. No clue what he's going to run, but probably low 4.4s. He has speed. He has that vertical threat ability. That's what he was at TCU. But then also size. You know, Herbert, for all his positives, is not the most accurate of the bunch. So having guys like a Mike Williams, having guys who can adjust to those passes, those rocket launchers, is a positive, is a value add for this offense. Quentin Johnston, with that massive wingspan, is that guy. So give me two pterodactyls, if you will, in that receiving core.
I mean, that'd be a nasty group. I'd love to see it. I don't know if there would be redundancy there. I think that it would just be extremely productive. But I kind of think that I would lean to it's a little bit more of an athletic type than even Mike Williams was. So I'll give you that. I'll stick with wide receiver for 22, Baltimore Ravens. They just need that. I totally think that they need a wide receiver no matter what. There's a former Biletnikoff winner that's still on the board in Jordan Addison. So I'm going to go Jordan Addison here. You put Jordan Addison in an offense with a Rashad Bateman, who I think if you give him a fully healthy year, he could be fantastic as well. You've obviously got an offense that you're building through Mark Andrews. I don't know what's going to happen to the quarterback position. Is Lamar still going to be the guy there? They're moving on from Greg Roman anyways, but no matter what, I still think they need a dynamic receiver to put in that room, and we'll go Jordan Addison here.
Yeah, I mean, very similar, right, to a Rashad Bateman. So it gives you a receiving core with two separators now. And I think this could be an offseason where Lamar Jackson sort of calls his terms, right? He's like, hey, want me to do this, like, draft me a wide receiver, you know, do all these things where you got to kind of appease him on top of the contract to get him to sign. So, kind of back themselves into the corner with that. Not to say Jordan Addison's not a good pick, but and maybe going elsewhere. I may have gone elsewhere if I'm building that Baltimore Ravens team.
Well, number 23. Good thing you didn't have the pick.
Minnesota Vikings. Little run on wide receivers here. I'm going Zay Flowers, the Boston College
wide
receiver.
All right, so you got Zay off. There you go.
Honestly, Adam Thielen is not the Adam Thielen we once knew and loved. He's taken a considerable step back, which is why, you know, Justin Jefferson was able to put up insane numbers this year, is because Kirk wasn't looking too many other places in that offense. Zay Flowers gives you another place to look. He gives you another separator, another guy that, hey, if they put two guys over the top of Justin Jefferson, Zay's going to make you pay.
Zay and Jet in the same offense?
Yeah.
That is pretty nasty. They do, I think, need to look at wide receiver. I don't know if they're going to look at wide receiver at 23. I think Minnesota really needs defense more than they need wide receiver. But look, the Madden kid in me doesn't hate the fact that you're up in the wide receiver game there. So I get it. I just feel like when it comes to draft day, they're going to be using 23 on a defensive selection. There's obviously a lot of good corners and defensive linemen, but I mean, I don't hate Zay Flowers, so I can't hate on this pick too much. Jacksonville Jaguars are up at 24 now. I'll stay offense. I'll go Dalton Kincaid, the Utah tight end, who I'm pretty high on in this class. I don't know if he ends up being a first-round pick, but I really like his skill set. I think he's a really great wide receiver. I think he's a really great receiver for the position. And they might be losing Evan Ingram. They loved the return on investment that they got from Evan Ingram, signing a one-year deal. But Ingram had a career year this past year. So he might be able to really cash out as a free agent. I don't know if he's going to be brought back. If he's not, they're certainly still going to want that element in their offense. So I think corner's on the board as well. You'd like an upgraded corner opposite Tyson Campbell, who had a fantastic year. But when I look at the offense, when I look at the players that are still on the board, I don't know if Evan Ingram's going to be back. And if he's not, this is the direction I'm going to go, because I want to keep that offensive group and that the pass-catching group especially as good as it can be as Trevor Lawrence continues to develop.
Yeah, Kincaid's the best pure receiving tight end in this class. And from a reliability perspective, it gets night and day from Ingram. Ingram's one of those guys who – I just don't know how much you can trust to consistently just catch balls. Like, it just has inconsistent hands. It has over the course of his career. That is not the case with Kincaid. All right, I have the Giants at 25.
Mm-hmm.
Weird spot here. Like, the value.
A lot of wide receivers off the board.
Is wide receiver.
Yeah.
Is edge.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Wide receivers, basically, that I'd love. But you just drafted an edge in the second 2 years ago in Aziz Ojulari, an edge in the top five. In Kayvon Thibodeau last year. So where are you going? I'm looking at Trent Simpson, the Clemson linebacker, just for his fit in Wink Martindale's defense. One of the better blitzers in this draft class. You saw him do that a ton 2 years ago when he was playing the slot in Clemson's defense. One of the most athletic linebackers in this draft class. You can just do a lot of different things with him. And I think, again, for that defense, that's something that you would want a linebacker position for. What was the defense that was one of the worst linebacker corps in the NFL last year? Like, definitely a liability there. A position where they could stand to upgrade.
Wasn't sure if we were going to get a linebacker in this mock draft, but if we were, this was one of the targets.
Yeah.
This is one of the areas where a linebacker would have gone, and so we do get a linebacker off the board here in this first round. Dallas Cowboys at 26. He's still on the board. He's still on the board. So I'm going to do it. I don't know what you do with Tony Pollard now. With him coming off, obviously, the ankle injury. You know, they say he'll be fine for next year, but he's a free agent coming up. Are you going to give him all that money? I don't know what you do with Zeke. Zeke's clearly lost a step, and now finally his contract becomes cuttable.
Cuttable-ish. Yeah.
At least you can get away with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
I'm going to take Bijan. I'm going to take him off the board, and I'm going to say it is a new era of running the football. Jerry Jones would love to give himself Bijan Robinson, and I think that it can completely start their running back room over and have a guy who is a workhorse running back on a rookie contract. Come on, Cowboys. Do what you should have been doing for a couple of years now. Make it happen. Bijan.
But that's the thing, right?
It's like a Cowboy.
Jerry Jones still calls the shots. They can do whatever 100%. They want, but if Bijan Robinson's on the board for the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
I agree. Yes.
All right.
There's other needs there. You know, defensive line, maybe cornerback. But if Jerry's calling the shots, if Bijan's on the board, I'm sorry, people out there watching, it's going to happen.
Exactly. They still want to be America's team. They still want to be the most talked about team. Running backs still.
Bijan is. Yeah.
Get it talked about like that. All right, number 27. I have the Buffalo Bills, and I am sprinting this card in if he's still on the board. This one is, makes too much sense. Brian Branch, the Alabama safety.
Oh, easy.
Born to be a Buffalo Bill. One of the most versatile, instinctive defensive backs in this draft class. Incredible tackler, incredibly physical player, despite maybe not having the most physically imposing size profile. But in a Sean McDermott defense, he would rake. And obviously the safety position and need there with Micah Hyde getting up in age, Jordan Poyer getting up in age, Mark Hamlin obviously, unfortunately, may not be playing football anytime soon or ever again. So Brian Branch, a guy that plug and play for that defense, instant upgrade, and for a team that's kind of in a window. Right? They think they can win Super Bowl now, and they obviously can. They're on the doorstep 2 years in a row in terms of that roster. So Brian Branch, a guy that could – be a difference maker for a championship next year.
Truly love the fit. What's the stat that you have? 3 missed tackles in like 3 total seasons at Alabama?
His entire career. Yes.
It's insane. One of the most reliable players on a Saban defense from a Saban secondary that we've seen in a long, long time. So absolutely love this fit. Let's get another Senior Bowl guy off the board here, because as I'm looking at things for the Cincinnati Bengals at number 28, I would say a reason why they're not playing for the Super Bowl this year is their offensive line. And we had a couple of really good offensive linemen here at the Senior Bowl. I'm going to go with one of my favorites, Tennessee offensive tackle Darnell Wright. I think Darnell Wright's getting a little bit slept on, man. I really do in this class. I love the mentality that he brings to position. He's somebody who loves to get hands on edge rushers as they are coming to him. He's not somebody who's just going to sit back and let the fight come to them. He's going to be physically imposing with him. He's a right tackle at Tennessee. He's battle-tested. He's gone up against a lot of great competition throughout the SEC, and I feel like he is a player that the Bengals would love to see on their offensive line. We saw that how much injuries can really ravage you, and so even if Bengals fans out there might be like, well, okay, next year these guys are going to be healthy and they've got a solid five. You need more than just five. You need reliable guys at backups as well. And Darnell Wright's also somebody who I could see playing on the interior in a pinch, right? You get a couple of games where an interior guy goes down. I think that Darnell Wright could step up in that regard too. So I think he could be a great swing offensive lineman. And I think that that's something the Bengals just need to continue to invest in.
And we saw them kind of switch up their run plan, or I guess run scheme this year from, you know, early a couple of years ago, last year they were outside zone heavy, demands athleticism, guys on the move. This year they were power, they were duo, they were ass kicking up front. They were trying to get movement off the line.
That's Darnell Wright.
That's Darnell Wright.
That's 100% Darnell Wright. All right,
number 29, New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I think New Orleans Saints because of Sean Payton trade.
Because Sean Payton.
Welcome to the first round mock draft.
Via a lot of different moves, right? This one was originally San Francisco's pick.
Yep.
That then went to Miami.
Yep.
That then went to Denver.
Yep.
That then now is in New Orleans.
Mm.
I have them going with obviously Marcus Davenport hitting free agency here. Cam Jordan getting up in age.
Mm-hmm.
Will McDonald.
Ooh, another Senior Bowl guy. Back-to-back Senior
Bowl.
Maybe
not a guy you're starting right away because obviously they have Peyton Turner in the fold as well. But they love to go D-line early. Love their length along the defensive line. 35-inch arms. One of the more explosive defensive linemen in this draft class. I think they continue to reload at that position.
I mean, I love that we're getting Senior Bowl guys off the board, so I don't hate it. I also love the fact that we're getting to talk about the New Orleans Saints. Shout out Seth Galina. Welcome to the first round mock draft, my friend. 30, Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Mike, if the Chiefs got Nolan Smith at 30, we just got to start over.
It's unfair.
Like, just start the night over. You know, like, be like, all right, we're going to come back same time tomorrow. We're just getting, like, that one was, we were just kidding. We don't need to. But like, he's sitting here on the board. This is one of the best edge rushers in the class. Mm-hmm. I know he's coming off the pectoral injury. I know he's a little bit small. But he's one of the best run defenders in the class. He was a number one recruit because of his athleticism. He was somebody who – he was a captain on this Georgia defense, so much so to the point where he continued to walk out to center field with the team after he was hurt. Like, they wanted this dude out there on the field. He was as involved as possible. It just feels like his scouting report is going to be so complete as a person and as a player. And so, for that reason, I don't think he should last till 30, but here we have him in this mock draft. And the edge rusher is sort of a need for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, what are the Chiefs' needs, right? I mean, they're just going to be vying for the Super Bowl every single year with that team the way that it is with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But they draft George Karloftis last year. Nolan Smith's a much different type of edge rusher, and I think somebody that could give them a much better speed angle on the outside. So I just think that this is it's just too good of a pick here as a potential need. So I'll go Nolan Smith.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There's just, like, not a ton of edge needs after, like, pick 20 here. It just gets kind of – not a lot of teams would probably be drafting a guy like Nolan Smith, even if he's more talented than pick 30. Last pick, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
This is based off of odds, I believe, or whatever. We're not saying that the Eagles are going to win, even though they probably will. I'm going Luke Musgrave, Oregon State tight end.
Okay, your boy.
Because.
Oh, final Senior Bowl guy.
Let's go. Because there's not a lot of holes, right? We already hit corner with Christian Gonzalez at pick 10.
Yep.
Because if James Bradbury leaves, that could be a need. I could see maybe safety being a need if they don't already sign Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But, like, safety at pick 31, you can get that in the second round, too.
Brian Branch.
But Luke Musgrave is something you're not finding in the second round. You're not finding really too many other places. Because he's 6'6", 250, and he's going to run the low 4.5s. I mean, he hit over 20 miles per hour on the GPS here at the Senior Bowl, which I believe only four other wide receivers did all year. And he's a tight end. He's 250 pounds with big-ass hands. This allows them to open up the playbook even more into some 12 personnel. Maybe get Fast Batman off the field, and this could be Fast Batman.
Whoa!
With his speed, with how he can get vertical at that position.
His tall Batman.
Gives you some unique personnel packages with him and Dallas Goedert that just adds a level of scariness that no one wants. No one wants to face in this Eagles team.
Oregon Batman. We'll have to come up with some sort of nickname.
Pacific Northwest Batman.
Look, just continue to give the offense unique players.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you need. That's what you need. There we go. That's our post-Senior Bowl mock draft here live from the Senior Bowl. We got four Senior Bowl guys in there.
Hey.
Osias Torrance going 20 to the Seahawks.
And a Shrine Bowl.
We got a Shrine Bowl guy in there as well. Darnell Wright, 28 to the Cincinnati Bengals. Will McDonald going 29 to the New Orleans Saints. And then Luke Musgraves going to the
Dalton Kincaid was technically also a Shrine Bowl, even if he didn't make it here. So
Senior Bowl or Shrine Bowl?
Senior Bowl.
So was he on the roster and he just was
Okay. He's hurt. So he was actually, I think, still on the roster.
Technically fine. Yeah. We're going to count it. Let us know what you guys thought of the mock draft, of course, in the comments. Let us know what you thought about certain picks for your favorite team or just picks that stood out in general. We would love to hear from you guys. Let us know what you thought about some of the Senior Bowl players. If anybody else from the Senior Bowl you think did enough to maybe get themselves in a first-round consideration, some other guys that you might think are on the fringe, it is Senior Bowl week. So, of course, we're talking about that. At all times. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for watching Issues Football this year. This is the last Issues Football that we have here, and obviously we had to send you off in a fantastic way, but it has been a great season. I know we had the last studio show that was with Seth, but because Mike was not there, I also wanted to give Mike the chance to give the final send-out too as well while we were here from Mobile. So, Mike, it's been awesome, man. This has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed doing Issues Football. It's been good stuff.
The show's been great, and it's sad to see it come to an end, but... here we are,
but
unfortunate.
There'll be other great content that, of course, that we have over at PFF.com and on PFF's YouTube all draft season long. And until then, for everybody who has had anything to do with It's Just Football, including you guys out there watching, I'm Trevor Sikkema. That's Mike Renner. We love you guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
It's not about politics. It's about football.
This is a simple game.
We're going to run the ball, and we're going to pass the ball. You're just gonna play football, really?
How good of a football player are you?
Not just get in and try to spin it. That's all.
I just love the game.
It really is the best time of the year.